This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending the 29th of April 2022. Hello and welcome to the Winchester Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle, dated the 28th of April 2022, which this week has been edited by Sue Frayne, Anne Brew and Jane Thomas. Your readers today are Tony Bergstrom.
Hello.
John Richards.
Hello.
And David Baldwin.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, John Parker. The main headlines this week are Refugees Left in Limbo by Delays, Plan for 158-bed student housing, and hundreds of scouts parade in the city centre. So we'll start with the story behind the first headline.
Refugees left in limbo by delays. Refugees bound for Winchester have been left in limbo as the government's Homes for Ukraine scheme has once again come under fire. Host across the city and surrounding villages have faced waiting times of up to 5 weeks for visa applications to be approved, with many of the families they're supporting left stranded across Europe, having already fled Ukraine. A Russian-speaking fixer, originally from Wieck and who wishes not to be named, has been working at the Polish border since the conflict began. He's hosted many families who've rushed to escape the war and in flats that he's rented, helping them find hosts in Winchester and filling in Homes for Ukraine applications on their behalf. To date, he's currently helped to submit visa applications for 46 people, all of whom have been sponsored by Winchester and Romsey residents. However, only 20 have been approved and just 8 have travelled. Among those waiting for visa approval is Osakan Melashka, 37, who left her house in Dnipro with her 2 children, Tikhon, 5, and Maria, who is 3 months old. She left at the beginning of March. Both children received their visas 2 weeks ago, but Miss Maleska is yet to receive hers, despite having applied more than a month ago. They've been renting a flat in Calais for the past week, after being driven from Romania by their sponsor, Judith Hutchinson, 62, from Ampfield, Romsey, in the hope that Miss Malenchka's visa would have been approved by the time they got here. However, despite officials insisting her application has been given the green light, she's yet to receive the paperwork, an issue many are facing. And with her tenancy set to expire, she says it's likely she'll have to travel back to the Ukraine as she doesn't have the money to stay in France. Winchester City Councillor John Tippett Cooper is part of a WhatsApp group containing around 80 prospective hosts across the city, many of whom say they've faced similar snagging roadblocks while completing the application process. The inability to track applications is a flaw in the scheme, which has been highlighted by both hosts and refugees who've been forced to spend hours on the phone to try and halt their appeals being delayed. Alongside Winchester City of Sanctuary and the Ukraine Refugee Support Group, he has also written a letter to both Stagecoach and Hampshire County Council to secure free travel for Ukrainians arriving in rural areas around Winchester. Councillor Tippett Cooper has cited the costs of bus travel as a potential stumbling block for refugees attempting to bed in.
Plan for 158-bed student housing. A huge new 158-bed block of student accommodation has been proposed for a Winchester estate. The development, which would span 2,100 square metres, entails the clearance of two business sites to make way for the new housing and office space on the corner of Winnell Manor Road and Winnell Valley Road, which is currently registered to two companies, Hampshire Plant and Access and Excel Plant and Tool Hire Limited. A planning application was lodged with the City Council by Merlion Capital Limited on December the 20th, and the time allowed for objecting to the application expired on March the 3rd. A report supporting the application said, quote, "The Winchester School of Art, in conjunction with the University of Southampton, intend to redevelop and expand their campus in the coming years. Increased investment and development into the campuses will lead to a growing student population in need of accommodation," unquote. In a previous response to objections regarding River Park proposals and the number of students in the city, the university said, "The increased numbers of students who may study in the city may lead to concerns regarding housing. The university is clear that appropriate provision must be made off-site." Former Winchester City Councillor Rose Burns, who represented the area of St Bartholomew Ward until 2019, labelled the proposed buildings as huge and opportunistic, and has said they will dominate the location. She said, "The development does not take any account of the Winnell Development Framework 2016, which was published after a very successful public engagement exercise and was subsequently adopted into the Winchester's local plan. However, no substantive action has been taken towards its implementation. In Winnell, we already have a substantial amount of student accommodation. Erasmus Park, Balfour House, the Cavendish, Super Uni Housing and many HMOs, and incidentally an HMO is a house in multiple occupation, which made it through before the Article 4 direction. This proliferation of student housing was not envisaged in the community development framework, nor was further office space supposed to be developed in this area of Winnell, which was all about sustainable communities and improvement in the quality of residential buildings and surroundings public realm. The aim was to maximise opportunities for active lifestyles and to retain and provide services that make communities attractive and safe places to live and work. Winnell is a great community, but I fear that too many students will upset the balance in the area and that accommodation and facilities for families in Winnell are not being given the priority they deserve." Sam Feltham, who lives in Winnell and is a Conservative candidate in the ward at the forthcoming election, said, "As a resident of Winnell, I can't believe that we weren't made aware of this very large development. It's so disappointing to see the lines of communication between the council and the people are completely non-existent right now. This application demonstrates that the River Park proposals for the expansion of the School of Art have been widely discussed prior to releasing the plans to the public at a Zoom meeting on November the 1st, 2021. Yet again, this will erode the public's trust in the transparency of activities at the City Council and its attitude to democratic accountability." Current Winchester City Councillor for St Bartholomew, Kathleen Becker, said, "We are aware of the planning application, and over the past few weeks, we have been knocking on a lot of doors in Winnell, so people are aware of it. Those living in the flats were all sent a letter, and certainly those living close by have all been notified. The main concern in Winnell is the number of HMOs which students tend to occupy, thereby taking them out of circulation as family homes. The residents we have spoken to, bar one, have been supportive of the application because they understand purpose-built student accommodation will relieve the pressure on those HMOs and get those properties back as family homes. It is an issue in Winnell. There are a lot of students in the area, which is why we put an Article 4 direction in place to stop the conversion of more homes into HMOs, and we are continually working with families to stop that from happening. Mrs. Burns has said she had asked Councillor Becker, alongside Councillor John Tippett Cooper and Councillor Paula Ferguson, who also represents St. Bartholomew, to refer the application to the Planning Committee for fear of it slipping through the cracks and passed through under Planning Officer's delegated authority. However, Conservative Councillor for Coldon Common and Twyford, Sue Cook, has since referred the matter to the committee.
Hundreds of scouts parade in city centre, and there's a nice picture of Arthur Dinan of the 3rd Winchester Squirrels, along with other scouts and all their banners and flags. Hundreds of scouts, cubs, beavers and squirrels marched through Winchester to mark St George's Day. The procession met in Colebrook Street on Sunday, April the 23rd, before heading along the Broadway outside the Guildhall. Then the group paraded up the High Street to Market Street and then on to Winchester Cathedral for a service at 5:15 p.m. Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Vivian Ashwell, was at the service, which was led by District Commissioner of Scouting for Winchester, Robin Cook. Councillor Ashwell said, "It was a huge honour to be present today for the St George's Parade by so many different units of the Winchester District Scouts." At the cathedral service, there was a moving message from the Scouts showing placards on how they would like our world to be now and in the future. Peace, use less plastic, save the trees and reduce waste. After the service, I made a speech thanking all the Scout leaders, volunteers and parents on the marvellous job they do.
That concludes the headline stories, and we now move on to the death announcements. Bates, Richard Bates, at Winchester Hospice on April the 7th, age 91. Captain Richard Bates was a former mayor of Winchester, and there'll be a separate item about him later on. Chamberlain, Mary Ada Chamberlain, née Bushell, on the 15th of April, in hospital, aged 88. Cooper, David Wilkie Cooper, at his home in Monaco, on the 17th of April, aged 95. Evans, Elizabeth Evans, née Harper, on the 15th of April. Foyle, Suzanne Denise Foyle, on the 12th of April, aged 74. O'Sullivan, Patrick Joseph O'Sullivan, on the 16th of April, aged 82. Shipway, Barbara Shipway, at Southampton General Hospital, on the 15th of April, aged 93. Varrell, Stella Grace Varrell, née Scoot, at Royal Hampshire County Hospital, Winchester, on the 17th of April, aged 93. Venn, Hilary Rose Venn, age 62, at home in Hursley on the 20th of April. Wakeford, Rita, known as Jean Wakeford, on the 10th of April, at Sunnybank House, Fair Oak, aged 97. And now we have Christian Comment.
Christian Comment by Nigel Hemming, and it's headed "It's Not Over." Before I go to watch a movie, I always make a point of checking out what film critic Mark Kermode thinks of it. I personally find his passion and his honesty authentic and infectious. I want to make sure time I spend watching films will be worth it, and so far I found his judgment is hardly ever wrong. The radio show and podcast Kermode presented with Simon Mayo on 5 Live has become an institution over the last 21 years. The audience of millions regularly contribute wit and wisdom, making it feel like a not-to-be-missed extended pub conversation with a few mates. And then, out of the blue in March, they announced their BBC show was very soon coming to an end. The fans were devastated. It just seemed so sudden. What were we going to do? How would we know which movies to watch now? I even shared the sad news on my Facebook pages for all to see. But the announcement was cryptic, and it soon transpired that they weren't stopping altogether, but just finishing on the radio and moving their podcast to a different platform. It didn't take much Googling to find out the details, with much relief all round and great anticipation of the new show launching in May. The show embodied one of the celebrated catchphrases Kermode himself often liked to quote. Everything will be okay in the end. And if it's not okay, then it's not the end. This quote works in many contexts, and although it's not strictly biblical, I used it in my pre-Easter sermon on Psalm 22, which begins with the famous line uttered by Jesus at the height of his suffering on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Almost certainly, the writer is referencing the whole psalm, which Jesus, his observers, and those hearing the gospel read out, would have known from childhood. Psalm 22 is typical of lament, and as I mentioned last month, for all their dramatic and emotive language, lament psalm writers go on to reaffirm their trust in God, to cry out for deliverance, and to declare assurance and the promise of God's favour. In other words, despite the obvious pain and suffering, they can see the bigger picture. Psalm 22 continues, Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In our fathers they put their trust. They've trusted in you to deliver them. Verses 3 to 4. For his bewildered followers watching on, Jesus' death looked like an ending. Their hopes of revolution were shattered and their leader crushed. But Jesus himself knew that there was a greater power at work, and that God had resurrection plans which would change the whole world. It was not the end. In the words of Tony Campolo, it was Friday, but Sunday was coming. Easter reminds us that at any time, even when things are looking bleak, with God's perspective, it is not over, and it certainly isn't the end. And that was from Nigel Henning, who is senior pastor at Winchester Vineyard Church.
Next, we have the letters to the editor of the Hampshire Chronicle. If you yourself would like to send a letter to the Hampshire Chronicle, you can do so by either telephoning 01962 860 836, that's 01962 860 836, emailing letters at hampshirechronicle.co.uk, that's letters at hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or writing to the editor at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO238. AL. That's 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. So we start off now with the first letter,
which is entitled Shop Closure, and it's from Paul Spencer of Winchester BID, which stands for Business Improvement District. Sir, in response to last week's story on Haywood Guitars, Chronicle April the 21st, I express again my sadness the store is closing and my best wishes to Brian Haywood, who will continue to offer services from his home workshop. When I was asked to comment, the reporter did not make me aware Mr. Haywood had expressed dissatisfaction with Winchester bid, so I could not respond to this at the time. In the article, Mr. Haywood explains the closure is due to challenges presented by COVID-19 lockdowns and online competition. This is also what Mr. Haywood told me when we spoke recently on the phone. Prior to this, he had not reached out to the bid to express concerns for the business or to request additional support. Last week, on the same day the article was published, we received a thank you note from another independent business which had reached out during the lockdowns requesting one-to-one advice on grants and business support. We certainly cannot solve every problem, but we always do our best to help. Throughout the lockdowns, we kept businesses informed of the latest announcements and support available, kept the public informed about how they could support local businesses, and our rangers continue to provide a 7 days a week service, keeping watch on closed premises and supporting those which were open. Winchester Bid is a business-funded and business-led organisation, delivering services to help make the city a better place to do business. A summary of our work is available on our annual review, which is sent to all Bid members and is available to view online. Whilst sadly the city has lost some business in recent challenging times, new businesses have and are continuing to choose Winchester as a location. There are also examples of independents which have expanded and taken on new premises. In our fortnightly e-newsletter, we include local success stories, and the latest features a new independent business opening and two others which have expanded their premises. Bids are about businesses working together and collaborating. If anyone would like to find out more or have ideas to share, please do contact us. And that letter has been written by Paul Spencer, Winchester Bid, just to remind you that's Business Improvement District, Parchment Street, Winchester.
Michael Fielding thinks that he has been the victim of a postal scam. On three occasions over 8 days, we have received courier packets from what we believe is Amazon. Their name does not appear on them, but they all carry the curved tick arrow. All three packets are addressed to someone of whom we have never heard. We understand that this is a scam, but it may not be illegal. It is a practice, which we do not fully understand, used by some of Amazon's vendors who are trying to boost their online ratings by mailing items free, but of little value, presumably as some sort of gift. I found it impossible to find a telephone number for Amazon or even an address to where the packets could be returned. The suggestion from the local police was to write on the packets that the recipient was unknown, ask that they be returned to the Amazon depot, and then to post them. And this has been done, and I hope that they have now all been received and that some action is being taken. A figure which I think I saw on the Which website suggested that 1 million homes might have received similar deliveries, and that was from Michael Fielding of Cheriton Road, Full Flood, Winchester.
Worse service. This is a letter from Ginny Allain. Some years ago, Hampshire County Council Library Services at the Winchester Discovery Centre established a classic book group, providing a wide range of books and a room where anyone who wished to join could meet for discussion. Many of us have enjoyed and valued the learning and fellowship from the group over the years. However, the Hampshire Cultural Trust, who've taken over the management of the building, renaming it the Ark with no public consultation, have not been nearly as helpful, being unable to make a meeting room available. Sadly, we will have to find another venue. We all received information advertising the revamped building and claiming to provide much improved facilities for Winchester community. But so far, Hampshire Cultural Trust have belied their stated aim and furthermore failed to maintain some existing facilities. And that is from Ginny Elaine, Downside Road, Tegdown, Winchester.
Postal Delay is the title of this letter from Patricia Stallard, who is the chairman of Meon Valley Conservative Association. Postal voters within the Winchester City Council area have been waiting patiently for their voting pack to be delivered. However, I need to make postal voters who reside within the Meon Valley constituency aware that the City Council has now delayed the dispatch of the postal vote pack until Wednesday, April the 22nd. That date is barely a week away from Election Day on May the 5th, and it also includes a bank holiday. Consequently, postal voters will have very little time in order to complete and return their voting preferences. Voters who had planned to travel over the election period, perhaps departing before April the 28th, will now not be able to vote. This may disenfranchise large numbers of postal voters, including service personnel serving away from home. If the election goes ahead on May the 5th as scheduled, it is to be hoped that the finalisation of the result would be delayed sufficiently so that postal voters who cannot get their ballot paper back by May the 5th are not robbed of their democratic right. The failure to ensure the prompt and on-time dispatch of the postal vote papers by the Lib Dem administration has provided yet another first for Winchester City Council, not a record of which they should be proud. That letter's from Patricia Stallard, chairman of the Meon Valley Conservative Association, Itchenstoke, Alsford.
William Blake wishes to tell you about a new political party called Reform UK. Your readers might be rather interested to learn that this new and exciting political party is starting to extend its tentacles into Hampshire. On the evening of April 13th at Shawford Parish Hall, I had the pleasure, with a good many others, of meeting their chosen organisers for the Hampshire and South East region. During debate, and as anticipated, the main concerns expressed were about the dishonesty and hypocrisy of government and the cost of living and energy crisis, to which I myself would add the poor quality of MPs, out-of-touch government, the neglect to plan ahead, the urgent but unacknowledged need to reform the NHS, and the complete lack of common sense in decision-making. It has become so very obvious that we are not being served well. It was a cheering and very stimulating occasion, and I have no doubt that we were typical of many in our various communities who are growing desperate for a significant change in the way our country is governed, and which is not on offer from our mainstream political parties. All age groups, men and women, were represented. Some expressed a wish for charismatic Nigel Farage to return to public life to stimulate action. Perhaps. But for me, Nigel has in fact done his job and done it well. It is now for the rest of us to get off our backsides to remove the corruption and incompetence from our democratic system. Hence my interest in Reform UK. I trust many of your readers will take action accordingly. That's from William Blake, Mount Pleasant Road, Alton.
And this letter from Simon Lever is entitled Itchen Walk. The River Itchen was poet Keats' favourite riverside walk. Being a rare chalk-based stream, it provides ideal views, reflections of trees and myriad wildlife. The iconic Itchen attracts a symphony of birdsong, and for anyone walking along its banks, a feeling of oneness with nature. The idea of raw sewage being emptied into this treasured river is an obscenity. companies giving all sorts of excuses are fined, but continue their reckless vandalism. It is time to protect our heritage, not destroy it, for present and future generations. And this letter is from Simon Lever from Juniper Close, Badger Farm, Winchester.
John and Wendy Hunt ask, why no warning of blocked access? This morning, Tuesday, my husband and I went for a lovely walk, ending in the Cathedral Close. Sadly, work was being carried out at the two archways that lead to the shop and refectory. It was totally blocked off. We approached the two workmen to ask if we could get through, and although apologetic, they suggested we take the walkway which comes out in Colebrook Street. We said we needed to go to Boots Pharmacy, and that would take us out of our way. There were no signs to indicate the way to the outer doors to the cathedral are blocked. We explained we were tired having been on a long walk. For visitors, this must be confusing, as there were no diversion signs either. One of the workmen said to follow him and let us in a side entrance to the cathedral. Bless him, this saved our tired legs. Why didn't the cathedral put out signs indicating the way further on was blocked? That letter was from John and Wendy Hunt, Water Lane, Winchester.
John Wesley wants to tell you about a lost necklace. Trying to be a good Samaritan is increasingly difficult these days. I thought if you lost something valuable, insurance companies wanted you to notify the police. Not so, it seems, nowadays. Calling 101 elicited a complete blank. We don't deal with lost property. End of call. Last Thursday evening, April the 21st, at about 7 p.m, I was walking along the pavement of Southgate Street towards the High Street and caught a glimpse of something sparkling in the setting sun. It was a beautifully delicate necklace with a clasp undone. As it was very near to the steps leading to reception of the Hôtel du Vin, I handed it to the receptionist in the hope it could be returned to its owner somehow. I thought to call the police, just in case the owner called them to inquire if it had been handed in. Hopefully the necklace owner or friend might read a short piece in your newspaper and make contact with the hotel to retrieve their piece of jewellery. And that's from John R. Wesley, Lieutenant Commander, RNR, retired.
And this letter from Hugh Dumas is entitled Ukraine Visas. Can I, through your pages, seek more action from the Home Office in issuing visas to Ukrainians seeking temporary sanctuary here? These refugees, particularly the family we have offered our cottage to, Julia and David, come from Mariupol and will be traumatized by the wanton destruction of their homes and the port city of Mariupol. This trauma will be increased by leaving the head of their family behind. I know many other hosts in Hampshire and beyond have offered to give sanctuary to other Ukrainian families and may feel strongly too. We need speedy and effective response from all involved in making this happen. And this is from Hugh Dumas, Upper Somborne, Stockbridge.
Pothole danger, says Jan MacDonald. The road surface on Tichborne Down, particularly heading towards the Cricketers from Linnets Road, has been progressively allowed to deteriorate up to the point where an accident involving a cyclist is highly likely. As one cycles past Shepherd's Down turning, the surface of the sunken channel has sides that can easily trap a cycle wheel. The rider can risk the threat of falling or move out into the centre of the road. In that case, both he and any motor traffic coming up behind him are at risk of collision. In the past, some attempts to have been made to fill potholes in the channel, but these do not last long. My old granny could have done a better job. Attempts by councillors to persuade the Highways Department to instigate a proper resurface have come to nothing. If local authorities cannot rectify this threat, both to cyclists and any passing driver who may be involved, my recommendation would be a notice just after Linnets Road warning, "This road is dangerous to cyclists." We are supposed to be promoting and encouraging cycling for better health. The message hasn't yet reached Alsford. That's from Jan MacDonald, Carisbrook Close, Alsford.
Rupert Pitt talks about the Bishop of Winchester who has recently resigned. It's entitled Pub Landlord. Nearly 20 years ago, the funeral took place of Graham Jameson, landlord of the Wickham Arms. He was very popular. As the Daily Telegraph wrote, Jameson's success lay in a combination of business skill, great personal charm, interest in people, the conviction a pub had a responsibility to the community around it, and extraordinary generosity. Clearly a good man. In February, the Bishop of Winchester resigned. He announced in May 2021 he would take leave for 3 months. The Chronicle reported he had decided to resign at the end of February 2022. The Chronicle wrote June 29th, 2021, the future of the Right Reverend Tim Dakin had expected to have been resolved by now after 20 church people told him they would table a vote of no confidence in his leadership at the Diocesan Synod. The Chronicle further reported July 25th, Angela Tilby, who broadcasts on Radio 4, wrote, Dr. Dakin's appointment in 2011 was in line with the finding of one whose instinct is to move fast and break things. He broke a lot of things. I felt a shiver when we heard of the sacking of the entire continuing ministerial development team. In Winchester, he broke links with southern-based training schemes and started lay training without selection procedures, and made clear his preference for mega-churches over declining rural parishes. Parish clergy were reprimanded if they failed to achieve targets for growth. It is no secret Winchester is known as the North Korean diocese. There was no service for the retirement of Bishop Dakin, and as the Chronicle reported, January 30th, his farewell was part of the evening service. The bishop broke down. There were not 1,000 people, as there were there for Graham Jameson, only 150. There are lessons to be learnt, the most important being that goodness does not necessarily lie in holding rank, or studying the Bible and preaching, but in being aware and listening, as Graham Jameson did. Once I had drunk too much and had to leave, and when I saw Graham, I next apologised. His response, "Oh, don't worry, we all need a cold bath occasionally." That's from Rupert Pitt in St Cross Road, Winchester.
And this unusual letter from Paul Hickey is on traffic ideas. A response to a letter titled Traffic Misery, Chronicle, March the 24th. Instead of cars going into Winchester city centre, I have alternatives. Being as the city lies in a valley, and in every direction you have to go uphill when leaving the city centre, I have these ideas. 1. Everyone in Winchester could hang glide into the city centre. Or 2. There could be giant slides leading in all directions from the city centre where people could simply slide into the city centre. Oh, what fun! Or 3. Everyone could abseil into the city centre. So come on, all you grannies, children, pets and everyone else. Let's see you all hang gliding, sliding or abseiling into Winchester city centre. I realise that I haven't really thought these ideas through, as these ideas only help you get into the city centre. You still have to walk uphill to get home. Perhaps other people can provide ideas for how you get home. Perhaps there could be a ski lift system operating throughout the whole of Winchester. There's also the problem of how you get your shopping home as well. Perhaps your shopping could be delivered by drones. Now, this unusual and exciting letter is from Paul Hickey, Parchment Street, Winchester.
That was a great letter. next, we have the Hampshire Chronicle editorial comment, and that will be followed by first person. So,
and the editorial comment this week is entitled "The Need to Retain a Mixed Economy." The planning application for a new student block on the corner of Winnall Manor Road and Winnall Valley Road is a very important one for the future of the city. It clearly will have a big impact on Winnall, but also on the future use of commercial buildings across the city. Much of the previous new student housing in that area made use of brownfield land. Erasmus Park, for instance, was built on the line of the old track of the Newbury to Southampton Railway. This application sees a plan to change two large business premises to student residential. We may be sleepwalking into a situation where the city comprises students and the wealthy. Winchester needs to have a mixed economy that includes employment use. Landowners may wish to capitalise on their holding and convert businesses into residential, but it's the City Council's job to ensure that a balance is retained. There is an argument that the new housing will reduce the number of students living in former council houses on the estate. But will it?
Khalid Aziz wants to talk about his bees. Some of this is a bit gruesome. It's spring. Although the high pressure, crisp east wind and dry conditions have held things back, I know it's arrived because my bees have started flying. I thought I'd lost them to Storm Eunice. She destroyed both my hives, something that has never happened in all my 40 years of beekeeping. When Eunice blew, it was chilly. The bees were still hibernating and were deeply angry to be jolted awake. I managed to rehouse the bees in some old hives. You never know when hives are split apart whether you've lost the queen. No queen spells disaster, as the rest of the colony don't have the wherewithal to grow a new queen. 2 months on, and I can report that the colonies not only have survived, but they are thriving. By now, the queens are well on their way to laying their peak of over 2,000 eggs a day. The infertile females, which make up the workers, will see their life expectancy diminish. Those that survived months in smaller numbers to keep the queen warm during the winter will die off to be replaced by new workers, who at summer's height might live just 3 weeks. In a colony of 50,000 plus, there will also be a few hundred drones, males whose sole responsibility is to mate a virgin queen the only time in her lifetime. Not that it's a great union from the drone's point of view. Once mated, he cannot withdraw his wedding tackle and it is ripped away. He dies. Newly deflowered virgins returning to their hive to start their years of egg laying are sometimes seen re-entering with said tackle still attached. I am honoured to be a member of the Andover Beekeepers Association. There are several such organisations across Hampshire. Indeed, at Gilbert White's house and gardens near Alton, where I chair the Board of Trustees, Meon Valley beekeepers have just installed the first of up to 10 hives. They will be running beekeeping demonstrations, including the production of Gilbert White honey for sale in our shop. Apart from promoting beekeeping to a wider audience, a vital civic function of the various associations is to deal with swarms. It's early days yet, what with the persistent cold wind and the general dryness, but soon hives across the country will be thinking about swarming. As the numbers build up, there will be a point where the bees decide they need to split. It's their way of reproducing. The workers will select certain grubs in the hive to be fed royal jelly for the rest of their development, as opposed to just 3 days for the larvae destined to become workers. Once the new queen is about to emerge, the old queen will depart with about half the colony. A swarm on the move is noisy and understandably frightening to the non-beekeeper. Swarms don't fly far and often perch nearby, where they will sit quietly in a ball. Scout bees are dispatched to look for a suitable new home, a hole in a tree, or, if we are lucky, in an empty hive which we have baited with a few drops of lemongrass oil. The main thing to remember is that a swarm is least likely to be aggressive, as they have nothing to defend. If you see one, ring your local swarm line. Googling swarm line will get you started on finding the nearest beekeeping association. They will ask you a few questions and may want a picture, if possible, to ensure that they are honeybees. We only deal with honeybees, not wasps. Accessibility is a key factor. I've been called to impossible swarms at the tops of trees. Collected swarms help to get new beekeepers started on this fascinating and vital hobby. So even if you don't fancy it yourself, do your bit and report any swarms you see.
Lovely.
A reminder that the annual general meeting of the Winchester Talking Newspaper will take place in just over a week's time on Sunday the 8th of May. That's Sunday the 8th of May at 2:30 in the afternoon, and it will be held in Studio 2 of Unit 12, Winnell Valley Road, Winchester. This is where our studio is now situated. And the AGM will be followed by tea. So a very warm welcome to all listeners and supporters of the Winchester Talking Newspaper to come to the AGM on Sunday the 8th of May, 2:30, Studio 2, Unit 12, Winnell Valley Road, Winchester. Sunrise around this time is about 5:45 in the morning, and sunset is just before 8:30 in the evenings. For this week only, due to illness, listeners who have a query about their memory stick or anything else, or any other queries, could they please contact Mary Davis on 01962 711 998. That's 01962 711 998. So that's Mary Davis, but just for this week. Right, we now move on to items of general news interest.
Right, this is a short article on the former mayor who died at the age of 91. A former mayor of Winchester has died, aged 91. Captain Richard Bates, who served in the Royal Navy, passed away at Winchester Hospice at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital on April the 7th. Mr. Bates was a Conservative City Councillor for 12 years and was Mayor in 1992 to 1993. A notice in this week's Hampshire Chronicle said, "A long life full of adventure, sport and fun." After his naval career, Dickie was a councillor in Winchester for 12 years, mayor in 92-93, and captain of Hockley Golf Club. Predeceased by Jean in 2002, he married Anne and moved away, returning to Winchester shortly before his death. Loved and missed by his three daughters, Nicola, Susan and Fiona, 10 grandchildren and 2 great-grandchildren. Rest in peace.
MP says it is inevitable PM Boris will face vote. Steve Brine has said it's inevitable that Boris Johnson will face a vote of no confidence among Conservative MPs after it was confirmed the Prime Minister would be investigated over claims he misled Parliament about parties in Downing Street during lockdown. The Tory MP for Winchester and Chandlers Ford backed Labour's motion on Thursday to refer Mr. Johnson to the Privileges Committee, which passed without a vote after receiving no objections, with number 10 opting against tabling its own delay amendment. The decision means MPs on the committee will investigate whether Mr. Johnson is in contempt of Parliament for misleading the Commons with his repeated denials of lockdown-busting parties in number 10. Such an investigation will only begin after Scotland Yard has completed its own inquiry into alleged coronavirus law breaches at the heart of government, which Mr. Bryan has previously labelled as embarrassing. Speaking after the decision, he said, "The motion to refer the Prime Minister to the Commons Privileges Committee seemed perfectly sensible to me and was worthy of my support. It's right the House takes a look at the issue and does so in a timely manner. It is for me inevitable the PM will now also face a confidence vote among Conservative MPs, given for so many reasons this is not a sustainable situation. Mr. Johnson, who missed the motion debate and decision because he is on official business to India, has already been fined once by Metropolitan Police for attending his his own birthday celebration in June 2020, with his officials braced for more fixed penalty notices to land. He is thought to have been at 6 of the 12 possible rule-breaking events being considered by Operation Hillman officers. Conservative MPs used the afternoon debate on the PM's truthfulness to express their disgruntlement at his handling of the allegation, with more coming forward with calls for him to resign. The motion laid before MPs said that Mr. Johnson's comments, including but not limited to 4 separate remarks in the Commons, appear to amount to misleading the House. The Prime Minister had, speaking from the dispatch box, previously said that all COVID rules were followed in Downing Street. Tory MPs had initially been ordered to back a government amendment which would defer any decision on referring the matter to the committee until after the conclusion of the Met Police inquiry. But in a late U-turn shortly before the debate began, Tory MPs were given a free vote. The move appeared to confirm speculation at Westminster that a significant number of Tories were not prepared to back the government's attempt to kick the issue into the long grass. Speaking in the Commons, leader of the Liberal Democrats, Sir Ed Davey, quoted parliamentary candidate for Winchester and Chandler's Ford, Danny Chambers, in what was an impassioned speech. Mr. Chambers said, "MPs did the right thing by standing up to Boris Johnson in Parliament. He will now be investigated into whether he deliberately misled Parliament about his attendance at rule-breaking parties. If I lied and broke the rules in my job as a vet, I would get struck off. Yet for some reason, the Prime Minister thinks he can just break the law, lie about it, and carry on as if nothing happened. People in Hampshire are angry. Every day I hear stories from people here who made heartbreaking sacrifices during lockdowns, from missing funerals of their loved ones to not visiting lonely relatives for months on end. The country cannot afford a Prime Minister who is spending all his time and energy trying to save his own career instead of dealing with the cost of living crisis that will affect so many families. Johnson has taken the British people for fools for far too long, and it's time for our Conservative MPs to show that they are willing to stand up for honesty and integrity in public life. They need to force him out. Boris Johnson needs to go."
This is about the reopening, finally, of a road. A Winchester road has been reopened with the completion of footway works, which saw it blocked off to the public for more than 3 months. Wellhouse Lane, near Headbourne Worthy, was initially closed for 14 weeks on January the 10th, as part of plans to build a new footway under the railway bridge. The work, which was carried out by developer Carla Holmes, the company behind the nearby Kings Barton estate, was completed last week, with the road officially reopened to motorists, cyclists and pedestrians on Tuesday. Winchester City Council Councillor Jane Rutter said, "Residents of Headbourne Worthy, Kingsworthy and Kings Barton will be delighted to hear that Wellhouse Lane has reopened. There is now safe access through the bridge for pedestrians and cyclists, and clear signage and lights for all low-height traffic. Three children were left needing surgery for life-changing injuries in 2020 after the driver of a stagecoach double-decker crashed into the railway bridge in Wellhouse Lane, ripping off the roof of the bus in the process. A further 12 pupils who were on their way to Henry Beaufort Secondary School were injured during the ordeal. The driver, Martin Robert Walker, 36, was jailed for 3 years after being found guilty of 3 counts of causing serious injury by dangerous driving."
And this is an article, "All Change as Owner Leaves the Village Shop in Twyford." It's all change in the centre of Twyford as postmaster and owner of the iconic Twyford stores, Simon Cooper, has decided to move on. It was in October 1989 that Simon, together with his then business partner Richard Sellers, took over the running of the shop. The pair had no previous retail experience, having both been rural postmen in the Winchester area, and prior to that, telegram boys. "I was the second to last telegraph boy in the area," claims Simon. Disillusioned by the failure of the 1988 GPO strike, Simon and Richard were looking around for a new career opportunity and scoped out the village shop in Usserbury, which was up for sale. They decided it was not viable, but the then owner of Twyford Stores, Mr. Merritt, heard they were looking for a retail outfit and contacted them. It wasn't long before they'd purchased both the business and the freehold of the building. It was a bold and risky enterprise, as both Richard and Simon had to sell their houses and take on mortgages. In 2014, Richard Sellers retired and his place was taken by Anthony Plowman, an ex-professional actor who started working at the shop part-time and whose role gradually expanded to the extent that he is now not only Simon's business partner, but also his life partner. "In the day-to-day running of the shop, there are no split duties. They both turn their hand to everything. Simon is the nominal postmaster, and Anthony is in charge of the back office, dealing with ordering, design, etc. We deal with dozens of suppliers and share it across the board," says Simon. In 2000, the year of the floods, the cafe in the cellar of the basement opened under the name of Bean Below. After many successful years, it was sold last year to the Little Kitchen Company, who now run it as Little Bean and Bar. Village shops are under threat, but Simon is confident that the new tenants will take the business forward. "It's the end of an era for this hard-working couple who've made a big success out of providing services to the local community."
New food pantry opens in Stanmore. A new food pantry has been opened in Stanmore. On April the 14th, the Carroll Centre had its official opening of the new community food pantry. This is a new project created to help individuals and families in Stanmore who are financially struggling to obtain food. Carroll Centre staff was joined by, Deputy Mayor Councillor Derek Green, who said, "Thank you all for coming along today to support the new food pantry here at the Carroll Centre in Stanmore. I have lived in Stanmore for 60 years and seen many changes. Since the start of the pandemic, many families have struggled to keep their heads above water. This food pantry could not have come at a better time. I would like to thank the staff of the Carroll Centre for taking the lead on this and wish them every success. To the residents of Stanmore and the St Luke ward, I would say, please, if you are struggling, don't hesitate to register and get the help you need. With this new service, the Carroll Centre hopes to make lives less worrisome and more comfortable.
Winchester Children raise more than £6,000 for the Ukraine. Four children from Winchester have completed a 50-kilometre, that's 32 miles, sponsored cycle for the Ukraine, raising £6,000 in the process. After learning about the situation in Eastern Europe, Sophia, 11, Noah, 7, Josh, 8 and Harry, 8, took on the Red Squirrel Trail on the Isle of Wight, with the four Westgate School students completing the challenge. The young quartet said, "It was really challenging at times, but we kept going, knowing that we were making a difference. It was really encouraging talking to people along the way, and lots of people gave money after seeing what we were doing." Rose and Albie, aged 5 and 6, took part with their siblings. They completed a little more than half of the 50-kilometre route. Donations can be sent to the children via their Just Giving page, Ride for Ukraine.
Kingsworthy Early Years Centre is back on track. A school for young children has bounced back from potential closure and is looking forward to a bright future with 30 children on its books. The new Kingsworthy Early Years Centre has taken over the contract to provide the service adjacent to the primary school in Kingsworthy. This followed an uncertain period last year, which saw the previous team announce its closure. Upset parents, who feared the end of this form of early years provision in the village, contacted Winchester MP Steve Bryan. He subsequently chaired a session with parents, preschool, primary school and Hampshire County Council to agree a way forward. Hannah Green and Gemma Shergold from the Early Years Group have taken on the challenge with new manager Joe Fuller, and they report strong numbers for the spring term and a positive future for the setting. And it will have 30 children on roll after the Easter holidays. The team was delighted to host MP Mr. Bryan for a tour and show him their progress earlier this month. Hannah said, "We are just delighted to have been able to take over operations and operate an early years setting on the site of Kingsworthy Primary School and to look forward to a bright future. Our immediate plans since our takeover were to focus on the children, settling them back into the setting as well as welcoming new families. Future plans include working alongside the school to ensure that the children get the best possible start in their early years education and are ready and willing learners as they move up to primary school. We look forward to undertaking lots of work on the environment within the centre, both inside and out. After all, the environment plays a huge part in supporting the children's learning and sparking their curiosity." Steve said, "This was a visit I'd been looking forward to with real sense of anticipation after last year when the old Kingsworthy preschool announced it would be closing. It was a real blow to the local community, and we had to secure a new operator to protect a service many parents without transport can walk to each day. It was great to meet the new team, and I wish them the best of luck for the future. I'd also pay tribute to Hampshire County Council for the positive way they've engaged with us all and made sure this service remained in Kingsworthy."
Long-serving chairman steps down after 26 years. Villagers have bid farewell to a long-time public servant. At the Old Alsford Parish Council on Tuesday, April the 26th, the chairman, Bernard Tucker, announced his intention to stand down from the parish council after 28 years' service, 26 of which were as chair. As well as serving on the parish council, Bernard has been a pillar of the local community since his retirement from his career as a lecturer in English. He has been a member and committee member of the Old Alsford Dramatic Society since 1994, during which time he was in 6 productions, was stage manager for a further 10, and bar manager for another 12. Bernard has also been a treasurer for the Village Hall Committee since 1994, only recently stood down, and was a governor of Perrins School in Alsford for 16 years. In 2015, Bernard's community service was recognised by the presentation of a Mayor of Winchester's award. All those present at the meeting gave him hearty applause, and he was thanked for his community service on behalf of his village. Bernard was presented with an engraved pewter mug and a 2023 World Cup rugby shirt of his beloved Ireland to help him enjoy his additional spare time. And there's a lovely photograph of Bernard Tucker here holding the Irish rugby shirt in front of him, green, of course, and he's also holding up the pewter tankard. From the look on his face, I think probably he's enjoyed some of what was in the tankard earlier.
Food stored in restaurant toilet. And there's a picture of the Wagamama restaurant in Jury Street. An investigation has been launched after a video which went viral showed food stacked up in a disabled loo at a restaurant in Winchester. The footage of uncooked meat, vegetables and fruit was taken by a customer using the toilet at the Wagamama in Jury Street. Customer Harriet Betts uploaded the clip last weekend saying, "I never usually share things like this, but this was disgusting." However, the restaurant has now said that it has launched an investigation and has apologised. A Wagamama spokesperson said, "An investigation has been launched after a supplier delivered food products during a busy lunchtime service and incorrectly left them in an accessible toilet. This was soon discovered and all the food was immediately disposed of. There is no suggestion that this is anything other than a regrettable, isolated incident of human error, but nevertheless will be thoroughly reviewed to discover how it happened. Winchester Wagamama has a 5-star food rating and prides itself on exceptionally high standards, food storage and preparation. Would like to apologise for this incident." Miss Betts from Whiteley said she raised it with a manager as she was concerned about the way the food was being stored and the lack of access to the disabled toilet. With 80,000 views, the post quickly drew the attention of Winchester City Council and Wagamama's head office, as well as 1,000 comments. The council officer visited the restaurant and spoke to staff about the storage issue. In a statement, it said, "The council has found that there were some areas requiring improvement at a Winchester restaurant, and these have been addressed. We have conducted a priority investigation and inspection of the premises. We are working with the business to ensure correct practices are adhered to." The Winchester branch has a 4.5-star rating on Google and a 5-star food hygiene rating, which is classed as very good.
Retiring councillors. 4 Winchester City councillors are retiring at the elections on May the 5th. 3 are Liberal Democrats, Roger Bentote in the Whiteley and Shedfield, Malcolm Prince in the Worthies, and Anne Weir, chairman of the King's Barton Forum in St Barnabas Ward, which covers Wheak and Hairstock. Conservative Lawrence Ruffell, a former chairman of the planning committee, is standing down in Upper Meon Valley. Several former councillors are seeking a return. Patrick Davies for Labour in St Bartholomew Ward, Hyde and Winnell. Jackie Porter in The Worthies for the Lib Dems, and Fiona Mather for the Conservatives in St Michael.
Sorry. King Alfred Buses return. A dedicated team of volunteers are working hard to make sure a fleet of vintage buses will be ready to run around the city. Friends of King Alfred Buses are gearing up for a special day on May the 2nd that will see a dozen traditional King Alfred buses recreate the old days in Winchester. They will be accompanied by 20 other historic buses and coaches originating from other local operators. In particular, the volunteer technicians are working to rebuild an engine of a 72-year-old 1950 Leyland Olympic. This bus, JAA 706, was the very first underfloor engine bus in Hampshire and is a very rare survivor that was rescued from a field in Ireland where it was in a derelict condition. The 708, actually I said it was 706 earlier, that's my mistake, I beg your pardon. The 708 was restored over many years by the enthusiasts and relaunched back in 2012. Everybody is on tenterhooks to see whether the engine will test up all right so that we can use it on Monday, May the 2nd, Chair James Freeman said. The King Alfred buses range in age from 91 years old to a mere 52. Free bus services will operate based on Winchester Broadway on May the 2nd between 9 a.m. and 4:30 a.m., covering traditional King Alfred routes, plus those of neighbouring historic companies such as Hants and Dorset and Aldershot and District. There will be the usual King Alfred sales stand in the Broadway near to Winchester Guildhall and a transport bazaar in the newly landscaped piazza by the bus station, opened between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m., Before I finish, let me just say, I think it was the paper that made a mistake, because it said that the bus services were going to operate between 9 a.m. and 4:30 a.m. That's wrong. It clearly should have been
p.m.
Yes, I think 4 p.m.
Marwell to receive Queen's Award. Marwell Wildlife is to receive the Queen's Award for Enterprise Sustainable Development at a reception hosted by the Prince of Wales at Buckingham Palace. The award recognises the Hampshire Charity's achievements in biodiversity conservation, education and sustainability since it was established in 1972. Among the successes highlighted by the award, to be presented in July, is the reintroduction of the scimitar-horned oryx, which was extinct in the wild, to its natural range in Tunisia, solely from captive bred stock. It is also commended for its Energy for Life tropical house, which is powered using animal waste from the 140-acre wildlife park in Colden Common. Marwell's Director of Conservation, Dr. Tim Woodfine, said, "It is with enormous pride that we have been recognised by Her Majesty the Queen during her Platinum Jubilee year for our holistic contributions to biodiversity conservation, education and sustainability as we celebrate our 50th anniversary. We see this award as recognition of everything that has been achieved by our conservation charity, including outcomes that are of global significance or unique for our sector. In practice, we take action to improve the fortunes of plants and animals that are otherwise declining in nature, undertake work to restore healthy ecosystems, promote sustainable living, and work with individuals, communities, and governments to bring about positive changes for society and the natural world. We can't do all this alone. Conservation is all about collaboration and working together to bring about a better environment. We're fortunate to have a long list of valued partners in the UK and internationally who share in our successes."
Pet store moving to new location. A Winchester pet store is moving location just 100 yards up the high street after searching for more space for their shop. Pet Pantry, located at the top of the high street, is moving to 80A High Street, which was formerly occupied by women's retailer Anoki. The family-run pet store, owned by Lynn and Abby Connell, is expected to open towards the end of April. Lynn said, "I'm so excited. We're already keen to move in. It's double the size of the current shop, but all on one level." Pet Pantry, who's been operating in Winchester for 5 years, will be welcoming customers with an open day offer. Lynn says, "Our customers mean everything. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. They're everything to us."
MP on board station revamp. Plans to transform an old railway station into a community hub have been labelled as exciting by the local MP. Winchester MP Steve Brine visited Shawford Station to see the plans taking shape. South Western Railway's Customer and Communities Improvement Fund scheme is working with Three Rivers Rail to transform the old ticket office into a new community space. The MP met with Phil Dominey and Matthew Evans of SWR and Mark Miller from Three Rivers Rail and received a tour of the works from the construction team on site. Three Rivers planned to transform the station building into a community cafe as well as a location for the nearby cycle company to display a selection of their e-bikes. Local groups, such as the Cubs, would also be able to use the space for their activities. Mr. Brine said, "I'm so excited to see something finally being done with this rural heritage site after it lying empty for over 30 years. This will be a fantastic opportunity for the local community and will fit perfectly into the village. I'll definitely be visiting after opening day with my family as the perfect stop-off point when walking along the River Itchen or exploring Shawford Dam." Mr. Miller said, "Three Rivers Community Rail Partnership is delighted that South Western Railway has made this space at Shawford available for us, and we are working hard to finish the project in the next few weeks. We hope this will create a tourist and leisure attraction which helps bring new life to the local area and encourages more people to visit the South Downs National Park." Mr. Dominey, SWR Senior Regional Development Manager, said, "The refurbishment work at Shawford Station is a great example of the kind of community project South Western Railway has been able to support through our improvement fund. We're delighted to have been able to help with bringing this historic railway building back into use and are particularly pleased to be working closely with one of our community rail partnerships to deliver this scheme."
This article tells us about the return of the Good Festival. A family festival that helps raise money for equipment in Hampshire hospitals is returning this summer. Good Festival, formerly Hampshire Country and Garden Festival, will take place in the gardens of Beer Mill on the River Test in Whitchurch on June 25th and 26th. The festival is an annual event organised by the Hampshire Medical Fund, the charity that buys medical equipment for Basingstoke, Andover and Winchester NHS hospitals that is not covered by NHS budgets. Last year, the festival raised £72,000, enabling the purchase and installation of 8 Resuscitair machines across the maternity and neonatal departments in each hospital. These machines allow newborn babies to get immediate support with their breathing, temperature, oxygen levels, and other life-saving interventions. This year, the Hampshire Medical Fund is aiming to raise £200,000 to purchase a state-of-the-art AI, artificial intelligence, machine for interventional radiology. This machine allows minimally invasive image-guided procedures to target tumour ablation treatments in the abdominal regions, the lungs, the kidneys and the liver. With only two of these machines in the entire UK, this machine would be cutting-edge technology in cancer treatment for the Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust. This year, the festival kicks off with a Saturday evening supper and auction and continues into Sunday with an all-day family festival. This family-friendly event celebrates good living with food, attractions, stalls, displays, talks and a dog show.
Cutting it fine on wedding day after delivering bread. And under that headline, there's a wedding photograph taken on April 22nd, 1952 at Christchurch, Winchester, and another lovely photograph of the same couple looking equally happy 70 years later. A Winchester couple this week celebrated 70 years of marriage. Roy and Sylvia Williams were married on April 26, 1952 at Christchurch, Winchester by the Reverend Blizzard Barnes. They currently live in Springvale Road with Roy at 96 years old and Sylvia at 88. The couple's daughter, Rachel Williams, explained the chaotic nature of their wedding day. She said, "The wedding had been due to take place at an earlier date, but Sylvia had been admitted to the Royal Hampshire County Hospital with glandular fever, and they missed the deadline to get tax relief by getting married in the new tax year." Roy remembers that he'd been working for his father, whose bakery business was G. Williams and Son in Sussex Street, Winchester, the morning of the day of the wedding, delivering bread. His shift began at 4 a.m. and he was on his last delivery in Greenhill Road, delivering to a Mrs. Bramble. Mrs. Bramble was shocked that Roy was still working at 11:30 a.m. on his wedding day, due in less than 2 hours, but he made it in time. Roy and Sylvia have three children who were brought up in Springvale Road.
Hunt for woman driver after collision. Hampshire police are hunting a woman who drove a car towards a pedestrian, knocking her down following an altercation outside a Tesco Express in Winchester. Officers were called to the supermarket convenience store in Priors Dean Road, Hairstock, at around 2 p.m. on Sunday, April the 17th, following reports a woman drove a car towards a woman in her 40s, knocking her to the ground. The victim suffered a minor injuries as a result. The car was described as a dark grey medium-sized hatchback. Officers have been carrying out inquiries and are keen to speak to the woman pictured in the CCTV image taken in the store.
This is about a fire that took place at the former council depot in Bar End Road, and there's a picture of the depot with police cars and fire engines at night. Firefighters tackled a fire that is now being treated as arson in an empty city council building in Winchester. Two fire engines and two police cars attended the council complex off Bar End Road next to the new Sport and Leisure Centre. Firefighters in breathing apparatus deployed onto the roof of the former MOT workshops to fight the flames in an office at 8:24 p.m. last Wednesday. The police are appealing for witnesses. A neighbour who asked not to be named said antisocial behaviour has been reported to the police over the bank holiday weekend, Sunday and Monday, due to teenagers seen in the depot during the day and smashing items and also letting fire extinguishers off. In a statement, the council said, "Winchester City Council has employed 24-hour security over the weekend and we are currently in the process of removing all contents from the site and securing the buildings." This article is about the French market that was held in Alsford recently, and there's a lovely picture of all the stalls with French flags fluttering in bright sunshine on up a Broad Street, or in Broad Street in Horsford. Horsford town chiefs have hailed the success of the latest six-hour French market with sunny weather during the day. Muriel Charles, the French market organiser, said she wished to thank Horsford residents for their warm welcome and looks forward to returning in 2023. The French market contains six large stalls covering 50 metres and occupy the top half of Broad Street. The produce was varied and fresh, covering a wide range of breads, croissants, cakes, cheeses, nuts, pâtés, clothing and hot meals. Robin Atkins, chairman of New Horsford Town Trust, said, "I was very pleased that the French market reappeared in Horsford after a COVID-enforced absence of 2 years and was so popular. We need to lift everyone's spirits after the sufferings inflicted by COVID, and the French market did just that."
And finally, an update on the Winchester Cathedral Peregrines. The Winchester Peregrines, their eggs hatched yesterday. I gather from looking on the cathedral website that there were two chicks were born. Winnie and William have been caring for a second batch of eggs after the failure of the first. The news comes after concern was raised on social media about the use of drones close to their nest. Keith Betton, chairman of Hampshire Ornithological Society, said he was aware of the issue recently when a drone flew close to the cathedral. "It seemed to be happened by a genuine mistake that someone was flying a drone to film the cathedral, not the peregrines." Mr. Betton said a peregrine, which can reach up to 200 miles per hour in a hunting dive, was able to deal with drones. "They may be able to bring down a small drone if they feel under threat. A big drone, though, would be a different matter, creating the risk of the bird getting injured. I would definitely encourage people not to use drones around the north face of the cathedral. That is asking for trouble. And flying a drone close to a peregrine nest and disturbing it would be breaking the Wildlife Act," added Mr. Betton. So I'm sure that we'll be getting further updates on the progress of the Winchester Cathedral Peregrines over the year. That concludes our extracts for this week. Our thanks to our editors, who were Sue Frayn, Anne Brew, Jane Thomas, and thanks also to our various technical teams. And thanks to our readers, who were Tony Bergstrom.
Goodbye.
John Richards.
Goodbye.
And David Baldwin.
Goodbye.
And from me, John Parker, goodbye too. Please return the memory stick as soon as you're able, not forgetting to put your address label inside the envelope.